Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thanks for listening. Today, we're going to talk baseball with Tad Rada. Tad is Wichita State's Director of Operations slash Video slash Analytics. He joined Coach Brian Green's staff in June after spending 13 years in Colorado with the Cage Rat. That's a great name for a youth baseball program, the Cage Rat Youth Baseball Program. Before that, Tad coached at West Virginia. He coached at Air Force. He played for the Shockers in 2004 and 2005 before finishing his career at the University of Indiana. We'll update you on the Shockers. They are almost wrapping up fall practices. They have played two scrimmages this fall. They defeated Cali College 19-6 in 14 innings earlier this fall. Saturday, they went down to Dallas Baptist and won that 14-inning scrimmage 7-6. They have their three-game fall series on Friday at 5 and Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. at X Stadium. And, of course, fans are welcome to come out and check out the Shockers for all three of those. So, Tad, let's start by giving us your job description. What all does the Director of Operations do at Wichita State?
Yeah, so the main things I do are travel for the guys when we go on the road, flights, hotels, things like that. I help with scheduling. Other opponents, we've been working on 25, 26, things like that. And then I help with all the on-campus recruiting as well. So and then anything else Coach Green needs. But, kind of a jack of all trades and do a little bit of everything.
Okay. Scheduling is something fans are always interested in. Give us an overview. Is there a guiding philosophy? What might people see from Shocker schedules in the future?
Yeah, I think, Coach Green and I have just been working through what we've done in the past and what's worked for us. And, obviously we have to wait on the American Conference schedule to come out first before we can kind of book the midweeks and things like that. But I think, doing what we've always done, I think it's worked and we'll keep doing it.
So when you coordinate a recruiting visit on campus, give us some highlights. What do you make sure that, I guess obviously the baseball facilities are very important. What else do they see on campus? What's kind of the day like for the next great shortstop from wherever?
Yeah, so we'll do a tour around Eck, show them the All-American Club, all the facilities that we have. We'll take them over to academics and they'll see Gretchen or Lucy over there. Usually we'll take them to the dining hall, the kind of walk around campus, the dorms, kind of depending if they're a junior college or a freshman, what they're going to be doing. See what major they are, take them to the new business center or, depending on what they're looking for. And then they'll usually watch practice, go to lunch, things like that as well.
Okay. Tell us about your connection with Brian Green and what got you here to Wichita State.
Yeah, I've known Coach Green since 2008. He was at Kentucky and when I was at West Virginia. And then my brother actually played for him. He was a starting shortstop at Kentucky for 4 years. And so, Coach Green was the hitting and the infield coach there. So I really got to see him and how, he coaches and get to know him then.
So you're back in college baseball. What got you back into this part of the game?
Wichita State. So when we got out in 2014 from Air Force, we started having kids. And so it's a very time-demanding job. But we always said that if Wichita State ever somehow opened, it would be the only job we would leave for. And so when I heard Skip was going to get the job, my wife and I had a quick talk, and it was a pretty easy, hey, if this is a real opportunity, we want to do it.
Okay, that's interesting. What about Wichita State was out there as the carrot, as something that would be that attractive?
I'm actually originally from Wichita, so it was kind of coming home. The program I played here, it's an unbelievable opportunity. And all those factors, it was a great opportunity to come back and be a part of something great.
So tell us about video and analytics. That seems like a fast-moving part of the game. I don't know when it really began to take hold in college baseball, maybe probably 15 years ago. How do you describe what goes on in that part of the behind-the-scenes part of the program?
Yeah, so we actually have Emilio does a lot of that as well, but it's a lot of TrackMan collecting data. The facility has camera systems all around, so we can kind of to look at guys' swings and coordinate with the TrackMan data, and it just look at all every piece of data you can imagine.
And do the, I guess you'll run across coaches who have different philosophies. Some of them use it a lot. Some of them will say, well, there are certain players who you want to stay out of their brain. Just tell them to go hit the baseball. They do less video with them. How does this coaching staff approach that whole field?
Yeah, I think when guys want to take a look at video, you know, we do it. I kind of like you mentioned, you don't want to overanalyze anything. So we really do it on a case-by-case basis. And unless there's something really, really wrong, we don't go to them a lot. It's more, hey, coach, can I go and look through that swing or look through that at bat and see what I'm doing? That's kind of the approach we've taken.
What was video like in 2004, 2005, 2006 when you were a college baseball player?
We had a video room down in the old locker room. It was the old VHS tapes. And so we would take it and try to pause and start it at the exact time. And then we would take old Shocker from the 90s and put their videos in. So definitely the technology was not there to do side-by-side comparisons, but it was good enough for the time, and we didn't know any better then anyway.
Right. I remember that little room. Yeah, there was maybe room for two people to be in there.
There was.
It was quite small, but there was some video going on. So a lot of new players, obviously new coaching staff here at Wichita State. What is your role in, you know, assembling this whole thing and building chemistry, building bonds?
Yeah. It's just being part of the staff and doing whatever I can and am asked to do to help. So, you know, I'm part of the day to day. You know, I'll be on the field in the dugouts, you know, things like that. So just being a part of it and doing whatever I can and Coach Kareen and the rest of the staff need me to do.
So when you're around town and you bump into somebody and they find out you were working here at Shocker Baseball and they say, tell me about that Brian Green guy. What's he all about? What's his coaching philosophy? How do you explain that to people?
Great human being first. He's just an absolute great leader. And I've learned a ton about how programs are ran. You know, even though I've been a part of a few, he's just really opened up and shown us the leadership style that I haven't seen. Which I think is going to really be effective around here. Outside of that, he's blue collar, hard nose, all the things that you know Gene used to preach. Skip is the same way, and so if the guys play hard and they're very process driven and have a professional approach, they'll play well here.
So we are many weeks into fall practices. You've had the two outside scrimmages, many inter-squad scrimmages. Give us some highlights, some impressions of fall practices. What stood out? Who stood out?
You know, I think having so many new guys, the young guys have a lot of energy. They're not scared. There's a lot of confidence. And I think the returning guys have shown a lot of leadership skills to be able to harness that energy from the young guys and not let it get out of control and let them be themselves as well. So just overall, there's been a lot of maturity for how new the team is together. And they've bonded very quickly. And when we went to DBU, you could kind of see that there was nobody was really sped up. The guys just kind of played their games and the confidence was there and they just competed.
I've heard good things about, let's see, I'll start with Ryan Callahan. Mm-hmm. Give us some impressions of him in the fall. He seems like a guy who will be a middle-of-the-order bat for the Shockers.
Yeah, you could see him 2, 3, 4, kind of depending on, what Coach Green wants. But he's a guy that likes to let the ball travel, go the other way. But if you put a changeup in, he can hit a ball out both sides. So just a great overall approach. He's going to take a lot of walks, going to get hit by a lot of pitches. He's not afraid to get hit by pitches, and he's one that I think he's been hit by as many pitches as he's had strikeouts this fall. So that's a pretty impressive stat, and it's kind of goes back to the hard-nosed, blue-collar thing that we want to teach here.
Who else has jumped out as a guy you think, yeah, that's a guy that will have a good shot at being middle of the lineup for us?
Yeah, Seth Stroh has really had a really good fall. I know he's a returning guy. He's actually, his swing and miss has gone down a lot. His approach has changed. Derek Williams, he hit a lot of home runs in junior college, and his approach, he has not struck out a lot this fall, and he's going the other way a lot as well, with some authority. So those two guys, I think, are going to be there. Jordan Rogers has had a great fall as well. A ton of bat speed, hits balls very hard consistently. Where he'll be in the lineup, you know, you don't know, but he will definitely be there as well.
Okay. How about the pitching staff? I know Caden Favors pitched well down at Dallas Baptist. He's a returner who I would think would have a really good shot to have a prominent role on this staff. Who's jumping out at you on the pitching side?
Yeah, we've got a lot of guys that have commanded the zone and pitched well down in Dallas. Daniel Zhang is a junior college transfer from up in Minnesota. Freshman Tommy Lepore, you know, has looked really good. You know, so you can keep going on and on, but there's a lot of guys that just pound the zone and compete and allow our defense to work.
Okay, since you're the guy who's in charge of the road trips, give us some road trip secrets. Do you have a go-to item that you have to get, have to use to survive? Is it snacks, Netflix show? Do you take a good book? How do you while away the hours on a bus or a plane?
Oh, just put the AirPods in, and I like to, you know, like to listen to podcasts, or just, you know, can't listen to too many podcasts in a row, but when that's, when you've had enough, you go to country music and just put it on and try to go to sleep.
Okay. Favorite podcast?
Oh, man, anything business, you know, business or finance, I just find really interesting, like Dave Ramsey's The Entree Leadership and things like that. So, but, you know, I'm open to listening to other things as well.
Almost anything. Okay, how about country music singer? Do you have some favorites?
I'm 90s, 2000, Brad Paisley, Chris Cagle, you know, that kind of era.
Okay. So you would probably remember Gene Stevenson, Brent Chemnitz, famous for playing spades on bus trips. Did they do that in your era?
I don't know if they did that in my. I mean, I knew they did
there
that.
There was a time.
I don't think they did that during my.
Okay, that
my
was a,
era.
That was a big deal. Anybody play cards on the road trip to Dallas?
We on the road trip to Dallas. I actually Anthony Miller and I drove ahead. We had a lot of guys going on this trip, so we drove his car. So I'm not sure exactly what they were doing. We went and got the hotel ready.
Okay, you were the advanced team.
I was, yeah.
Favorite major league team?
Growing up in Central Indiana, you know, we had the Cubs. They were on WGN, so I got to see them every day. The Reds were kind of the go-to when we went to a game. But I watched a lot of Braves baseball back then as well, and they were kind of my favorite team. My first game I actually went to was Kauffman Stadium, George Brett, early 90s, you know, because I'm from Wichita. So we'd go to Worlds of Fun and do a trip there, and then we'd always do that, you know, the Royals games.
That was the typical Wichita vacation. Yeah, that's a go-to. Who's your favorite big league player?
That's a good question. Favorite big league player? Of all time, it's probably George Brett. Just loved his swing, you know, loved how he played the game.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. There would be a lot of those around here. Who is the best pitcher that you've faced? Any level, any kind of game? Who sticks out in your memory?
Probably Pelfrey and Intersquad. He was a tough guy to face.
Yeah, what was it about him that you remember being so tough?
The ball just got on you so quick. You know, he threw hard, but and it had a lot of run to it, and you know, him being 6'7" or whatever he is, that ball really, really could get onto you in a hurry.
That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, I've got a couple trivia questions from your time as a Shocker. So if I were to take you back to April 3rd, 2005, and I were to ask you, were you safe at first base in the 10th inning of a game against Evansville, what would your response be?
I'm sure I was safe.
Okay. This was a big, I ran across this. Prepping for this, this was a big controversy. 10th inning of a game against Evansville. First base umpire called you safe. He went to the Evansville coach, Dave Schrag, asked him to ask for help. The home plate umpire called you out, and then Evansville won later in the 10th inning. The game story from the Eagle describes trash being thrown on the field, Gene ejected, JT ejected. I guess it was just a big thing. Do you remember anything about that?
Honestly, now that you mention it, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, Gene and JT and Brent could get really animated in the dugout, and I'm sure it was a worthy ejection is all I could probably say about that.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting. Evansville, that was when they were, I think, making their move. They had some really good teams.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you hit one home run as a Shocker. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who you hit it off?
I do. Jared Hughes, Long Beach State, 1-0 fastball. I was sitting on a two-seat, kind of ran a ball in, and I was sitting on a hit down the line.
Excellent. Yeah, if you're going to hit one home run off a future big leaguer against Long Beach State, that's a good one to hit. A 3-run home run and a 7-0 victory over Long Beach State. So that was a good one.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Favorite book. Give the people something to read as it's getting cold and they need to be inside.
Favorite book. Oh, man. I go back to the business genre. Something fascinates me about it. First book I really got into was, again, go back to Dave Ramsey and the Entree Leadership. And these days it's Jocko and his leadership books, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay, very good. Tad Rada, thank you very much. We'll remind you again, the Shockers have their fall series this weekend. They play Friday at 5 and Saturday and Sunday both at 1. They had the draft yesterday. Yeah, that seemed like a big deal. I'll ask, take us inside the draft. So you split up two captains on each team, mm-hmm. right? Give us a little bit about the process for picking these teams.
Yeah, so it was Stroh and Mauricio were one side, and Jordan Rogers and Caden Favors were the other. And it was, we were actually in here in the classroom, and it was an intense draft room for sure. We flip for who was going to get drafted first, and both teams knew who they wanted, and it was the same guy. So, it was a lot of fun. The guys really took it seriously. You had, Seth was wearing his jacket, so it was a professional day, and it's going to be fun to see how they handle the next few days. We kind of let them, it's a leadership exercise. So they'll be running practices today and they'll be writing lineups and all of that. So it'll be a fun next 5 days.
Okay. I saw the pictures. I noticed Seth in his jacket. How about during the games? Are mm-hmm. Are the players running things in too? The coaches just be observing?
I believe the coaches are just going to be, we might be sitting behind home plate observing and watching and kind of letting the players really understand writing lineups and when to send players and do the whole leadership and coaching thing.
Okay, interesting. I saw, and Alex Burge was the first pick.
He was.
Now, as we were over in the offices over there, was that strategic because Mauricio Milan is one of the captains? So if you wanted Alex because he was a catcher also.
Correct.
Right? Okay, that's
right. Yeah, both teams wanted Alex as the catcher, and fortunately for Caden and Jordan, they got him because he's got a great arm, he's a great receiver and a good left-handed bat as well.
As you were watching the draft unfold, was there somebody who you thought was really undervalued that went later and you thought, oh boy, that guy has a chance to make an impact here, and he went in the lower rounds?
Derek Williams went pretty late. That might, but one team really, really put a high stock on pitching, and one team is kind of, pretty balanced. So we'll see what strategy plays out well for who.
Okay. I know over the years the stakes have been different. For a long time, I think it was losers had to serve the winners a steak meal, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think there was also a time when it was you had to clean up around the stadium, that kind of thing. Are there, has any kind of reward or disincentive been established?
There will be, it'll be a post-game meal. I think we're going to Biggins and one team's going to be really happy with what they get, and the other team maybe not so much.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Shocker Series, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday at 5, Saturday at 1, Sunday at 1 at X Stadium. Tad, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
It's over. It is over. Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.